Amen. My name is Tori Swan, and I'm serving at Alaka Bible Camp through the Bridge Gospel Academy, which we all call the BGA. And it's a gap year school for students who have just exited high school and sometimes who have exited college. And it's just a year for them to pray and ask God what He wants next for them. We started this first year with 10 students who spend about 20 weeks on campus learning from roughly 20 different instructors on various Bible and gospel-related topics. And Pastor Arby, wherever he went, will be one of our instructors right in front, so we're super excited about that. The students here, they are also helping to plan with Snowball, which is the Alaka Bible Camp that's coming up this winter really shortly, so sign your kids up. And they also serve in the community. Another thing we do is spend about 7 weeks traveling, and we go on what are called set trips. And this is where students get to apply what they are learning, and that includes compassionately listening to others and sharing the gospel. And they're kind of like mini mission trips. And let's see, at the beginning of December, I think it was, we went down to Las Vegas for one of our set trips, and we did street ministry, which was very fruitful in many ways. And the last night of our stay in Las Vegas, we met a young man who had been without a home for about 3 years, and one of our students began a conversation with him that led to more conversations, and ultimately, we invited him to come home with us to Idaho. And yes. It's probably pretty obvious that he did say yes. He came home with us. And there's quite a beautiful story with how that all played out. And he's been here with the BGA students for about a month now. And his name is Sebastian. If you haven't figured out who he is, he's not as shy as I thought he was going to be up here. Good job. So the really beautiful thing is that the beginning of this week, he decided that he wanted to join us at the BGA, and so he is going to be doing the second semester at the BGA. We're super excited about that. So we're here because we would love to invite all of you to join Sebastian in this journey, and we want to invite you to be praying for him regularly. But we're also inviting any of you who feel God moving on your heart to help support him financially. It costs $3,750 for the second semester of the BGA, and we want Sebastian to be able to focus on learning and growing and being part of our community out there and not having to have any worries financially. So today during the offering, during the regular offering, if you have it on your heart to help him in any way, I've set out, Caleb and I have set out envelopes in every aisle, and you can just write his name, Sebastian, on those envelopes and just place it in the offering. And if you have any other questions about the BGA or other students and want to help in any way, you can grab me at the end of service or anytime. So thank you for letting us come before you, and please be praying for all of them, and specifically our wonderful Sebastian, who is joining us. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to do one offering for Tyze and Sebastian. So if you want to give to Sebastian going to the BGA, just write Sebastian on there. And if you're putting Tyze in, just write Tithe. And then we don't have any confusion. So if we could have the ushers come up, we'll do that. And then after we take tithe and offering, not yet, but in a minute, we'll send the kids off for Children's Church. But I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for this day where we get to do church. And church looks very different than just sitting in pews Sunday morning. Church happens all over. Church can happen when we tell someone that we've missed them and we wonder where they've been. Church can happen when we take a meal to someone that's not feeling good. Church can happen when we find someone in Las Vegas that is searching for you. Searching enough to drive all the way to Harpster, which is scary for someone from Las Vegas. Lord, we thank you that we get to do life with you, Lord. We are your church, and we thank you for every opportunity that we have to lean into that. In your mighty name, amen.
Good morning. So sunny and nice out today. The cold weather's gone. Spring is here. You can get your shorts and t-shirts back out. The cold front is over. Okay. It's a sucker hole, they say. We'll see. We'll see what God has in store for the rest of our seasonal weather. But the one saying that is true in Idaho, if you don't like the weather, just wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Let's let our ushers finish up here before we dismiss children to children's church and create utter mayhem. God is awesome. Do you know that? Like, really know that? That God is awesome and amazing, and that he has your best interest in mind. Do you experience that throughout the week, throughout your life? Or do you just remember that one single awesome moment that you had with God in life and you're hoping you get another one? Hopefully you get to experience several awesome moments all week long, throughout the week, that God is just pouring into you. Do you stop long enough to know that he's there with you? Instead of just blowing through life and wondering, where is God? He's still waiting for you on the park bench and you haven't showed up. So we can live our life one of two ways. Just running headlong into it or running through it with Jesus. How do you choose to live life each and every day? So we're going to dismiss kids to children's church, ages 3 to 5th grade. I have classes available over in the east wing. Parents, if you would sign your child into class, please, and remember to pick them up afterwards. Always very helpful. And then the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore back here on my right. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like to take them there, feel free to do that for a little more privacy. And as always, your kids are welcome to sit right here in service with you. We love family. We love engaging in family and relationships with one another and living life together, experiencing the highs and the lows. Hey, let me come celebrate your kid graduating high school. Hey, let me ride along with you as we bail your kid out of jail. Or anywhere in between. But living life together, whether it's up here or down here, let's do it together. Often when it's up here, we want to put it on Facebook and say, everybody join in, it's so awesome. And when it's down here, we don't like to talk about it. I just texted one of my friends last night. And he was on my heart, and I had this picture of he and I at his brother's funeral. And I said, hey, thinking of you, love you, and sent him this Bible verse. And he's like, thanks for checking in. I just got out. I'm like, got out of where? He's like, jail. I was like, oh, well, why didn't you let me know or have somebody let me know? You know, I'd come visit you. We'd pray for you, whatever you need. But life has highs and lows, and we need to engage with one another at every avenue of life, whether it's up here or down here, and especially down here is when we need to be in community and drag some people alongside of us, say, hey, I need to pick me up. I can't carry my own load. I need some people around me. But our tendency, or the devil pushes us into isolation at that point instead of engagement. When you get low, you should insulate and not isolate. That means get some brothers and sisters around you that love Jesus. Let them be your wall of protection and begin to lift you and encourage you and strengthen you in the Lord. That's what we're called to do. So make sure you're doing that. So there's some fun topics we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. If you remember back to our payoff celebration back in October, I mentioned these to you and told you we would begin opening them up and fleshing them out in the first of the year. And some of you are going, what? You don't even remember. But I remember, because the Holy Spirit spoke through my wife and reminded me. So we're going to talk about three subjects in the next few weeks to come. Trailblazers, or trailblazing. We're going to start there today. And then we're going to get into dead come to life. If you remember, these were our 3 points back in October. And the third is stretch out and enlarge. I believe these are the three things God is calling us to in the year of 2022. And they're three things that we're going to be pursuing and seeking God for as we learn and study them. So get ready. It's going to be an awesome year of walking with our Lord and Savior and seeing all that He has in store for us. So let's take a moment, we'll talk to God, and then we'll jump into the Word. So Father, we thank You, Lord God. God, that You go before us. God, that You move mountains. God, that You make a way where there seems to be no way. God, You are the God of making the impossible possible. And Father, we thank You that You are the Almighty, that You are the Great I Am, that You are the beginning and the end, the never-changing Sovereign One. Father, we thank You for Your greatness. God, we worship You today and we praise You. And I ask, God, that You would open the ears of the hearer. God, open their hearts and minds to hear the truth of Your Word as it's delivered today. God, use my tongue to speak to Your people today through Your Word. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been a trailblazer? Anybody? There's one, there's two, all right, there's three, there's four of us, five of us, yes. Trailblazing in the natural. Like you go out and cut a trail through the forest, and of course I think of Lewis and Clark coming over on their great expedition. And they woke up one Friday morning and said, hey, let's head out west tomorrow. No. It took years of planning and strategy and learning how to navigate and learning how to survive and learning all kinds of skills they didn't currently have to go blaze a trail to somewhere they'd never been, a far-off, distant land they'd only heard rumors and fairy tales about and weren't real sure of what they were going to encounter along the way. Does trailblazing sound fun? Kind of, in an adventurous sort of way, but it also sounds very daunting and dangerous in a super sort of scary kind of unknown kind of way. When you think about trailblazing, I think about, of course, I've spent a lot of years in the mountains, hiking trails, riding trails, clearing trails. And whenever you were on a state trail, they used to always be marked with this long slash and a little dot above it, at least in the state of Idaho. I haven't done a lot of stuff outside of Idaho. But they had this long, it looks like a little eye. It has a long slash and a little dot right above it, both sides of the tree. So if you see those, you know you're in a good spot. Somebody went ahead and blazed the trail for me so I could know I was on the right path. But every year, the snow knocks a bunch of trees down, covers up the trail, blocks it, barricades it. And somebody has to come back through and clear it again and again and again. Are you getting the picture? And again and again. It's work that's never done. Some years it's fairly easy. Some years it's really difficult. We'll get to some of that in a moment. When I think of a trailblazer, I think of the Bible usually calls them forerunners. Someone who comes before. We're going to talk about this one real popular guy that came in camel hair, ate grasshoppers or locusts, ate lots of honey. Some of you are probably catching on to who this guy is. John the Baptist, the forerunner or trailblazer for Jesus. We're going to jump into the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and read a little excerpt. About John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepares the way. Do you like when somebody prepares the way for you? I really like it. When I'm coming across the prairie two Mondays ago, maybe only one, and the snow drifts were this deep, I was really glad the Idaho Department of Transportation had prepared a way for me with their plow trucks, because we were in a Toyota Corolla, and we were going to get stuck like a lawn dart if they hadn't prepared a way for us. But there are people in our lives that need us to prepare a way for them to go forth and do what God's called us to do to make it easy for them. Because it was really easy once the plow truck went through. Before the plow truck, it wasn't happening. Be a plow truck for somebody in your life. Open up the path so they can travel it easily. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So we're going to break this passage apart verse by verse. Have some fun with it. But John the Baptist was a trailblazer for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came saying, "Prepare a way, get ready." He came opening the door, basically, to salvation. Came making open and available and knowledge and understanding available to those who were around to get ready to receive Jesus. You and I are still in this same boat. We're supposed to take the gospel to the world around us to make ready the way for them to meet Jesus. That's what our trailblazing looks like today. We're still supposed to be blazing that path, making it easy for people to get to Jesus. We're going to see what that looks like as we pick this apart. So verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So we have the wilderness. What do you think of when you think of the wilderness? I think of a vast, untamed, harsh, beautiful, rugged place. Full of danger, full of excitement, full of joy, untapped resources. John the Baptist came in the wilderness. How do you get through the wilderness? I'll let you know, it has some really ugly places in the wilderness. Places you don't want to travel because nobody's been there to open the trail. Nobody's been there to remove the rocks and the logs and make it easy, or the tangle brush. But in the wilderness, there are these trails that have been cut open. And if those trails are open, it's like la-di-da, woo. I can hike about 4.5-5 miles an hour on those trails. But if I'm going cross country through the wilderness, I'm at about 0.6 miles an hour. Moving through the same country, but nobody's made a way for me. So we can allow people to sit on their own and try to get through the wilderness of life to meet Jesus, moving at 0.6 miles an hour, which hopefully they don't die before they meet Jesus. Or we can go through and make the path straight for them and open the paths up for them and create relational bridges from us to them so that they can meet Jesus. And perhaps they can move at 4 or 5 miles an hour along in getting to know Jesus instead of 0.6. And they can get there a lot quicker. Then they can spend a lot more of their life doing what Christ has called and created them to do. But it takes a lot of work. Some of the places I go are wilderness, and you can't use your chainsaw. which means you're using a single buck or a double buck crosscut, or you're using an axe, or you have to ride your stock out and around every tree like this, which adds about 20 miles to a 20-mile trail. It's not easy, it's not convenient, it's not quick, it's not safe. But if someone will come through and do the hard work and open it up, it's a lot easier. Are you willing to do the hard work in the wilderness of people's lives? Are you willing to go the extra mile to help them get to meet Jesus? Are you willing to put in the effort? I've spent hundreds and hundreds of days, literally, in the forest cutting trails. It is hard, hard work. You ache, it's painful, but so rewarding. At the end, you get to look behind you and go, whew, a blind guy could follow this path. They were so great. When I got done with them, I walked a lot of them in the dark without a flashlight, because there was nothing in your way going to hurt you. As long as your feet could find the footbed of the trail, you were good to go. Will you do that work for someone else? Not for your benefit, for their benefit. Are you willing to do that so someone else can meet Jesus? Verse number 2. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. When we repent, we take it and we remove, right? So we're clearing that trail. We have to repent ourselves, for starters. And then we need to lead people to repentance. What does that even mean? Before I knew Christ, I didn't know I lived in sin. So this is my lifestyle. Now that you've given me the truth of God's word, I know this is sin. I know I need to repent. We have to lead people to repentance. We have to show them. You can't expect unbelievers to know what you know. You can't treat them like believers because they don't know. They simply don't understand. So it's our job to help them. We've got to remove the stumbling blocks and open access to God. Remove the stumbling blocks in their lives. Try to help them see it, help them understand it, and then open access to God. How do we do that? Simply by loving people, by loving them through their mess, loving them through their hardship. I've met people that, after talking with me for a while, finally find out that I'm a pastor. And then their language changes and their attitude changes and everything changes. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I used to go to church once a long time ago. And then they start thinking, and they're like processing, and they're like, well, why are you talking to me anyway? I'm like, because you're a human being? I mean, I don't have to have a reason, do I? They're like, well, you know, a lot of pastors I've met like wouldn't even talk to somebody like me. It's like, seriously? That hurts. So they've had bad experiences with the church, big C, church people, which leaves a stumbling block in their path to repentance. So you and I need to supersede that and show so much love and kindness, compassion, forgiveness, that it removes that stumbling block so they can get to repentance. John's calling for repentance. The kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 3. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. John was called and he was chosen. Do you know that you are called and you are chosen? You are called. Each of us has our own calling, and God chose each of us. We are created by his hand and his design for his purposes. Do you know that you're called and chosen? Because if you don't hear that today, you are called and you are chosen. And for some of us, Blazing our trail is making a path for our kids to get to Jesus. For some of us, blazing a trail for our neighbors to get to Jesus. For some of us, blazing a trail for our spouse to get to Jesus. For some of us, blazing a trail so we can get to Jesus. For some of us, we're called to very different things. Some of us, it's for our coworkers to blaze a trail that they may find Jesus. Don't think that the place you're at is not a place God's called you to. He can use you anywhere you're at. And perhaps he's called you to the very spot you're at. Even though you don't agree with anyone, you don't understand anyone, no one understands you, maybe you're just called to be a light that shines the goodness of God in a dark workplace, in a dark situation, in a dark business. Maybe God's called you to be that light, to blaze that trail open for someone in your life. You've got to use your voice. Speak up. When you see wrong, speak truth. When you hear lies, speak truth. When you hear gossip, let it stop at your ears. Which means use your voice by not using your voice. When you hear people, even if they're speaking a false word over themselves, call it out and speak truth. Speak the better word. Speak words of life, words of empowerment, words of encouragement, words that feed people's souls to make them better. Let the negative words fall. Speak life. You've got to prepare. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord. We're preparing the way for people to get to the Lord. We don't just wake up one day and say, well, I think I sort of kind of know something. But no, we've got to get in God's Word and be prepared. I think the Word says in season and out of season. We're supposed to be prepared to deliver the gospel or why we stand for it. Be prepared to witness to people. And it can look very different in each and every situation. But be prepared in every situation to talk about Jesus and his goodness and his love toward humanity. And the last part of verse 3 is make paths straight. It's so much easier to walk a straight path. So, so much easier. How do we make a straight path? Scripture tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The truth of God's word will make paths straight. We have to use this as our guide to make paths straight. How do we use it? We have to get it in our heart so it becomes part of us. It's not just a bunch of words written on paper that I saw Pastor Arby pick up on Sunday and read from, but it's something I ingest daily to make it part of me so that I know the truth of God's word, so that when I'm blazing trail, I'm not just blazing Arby's trail. I'm not blazing with Arby's righteousness. I'm not blazing with Arby's understanding. I'm not blazing with Arby's principles and values, but I'm blazing with the Word of God, his principles, his values, his understanding, his wisdom and knowledge, everything he says to make my path straight and the path straight for those who would come behind me. Verse number 4. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was prime rib. Oh, locust. I'm sure he had to imagine it was prime rib or something. Locust and wild honey. John was different. He had some weird uniqueness about him. I always wonder, like, what did his camel hair outfit look like? Was it like just a breech cloth? Was it like a big caveman sash? Was it like a full garment? Do you ever wonder that? Like, I wonder that about lots of stories in the Bible, like the pictures that grow through your head and you wonder what it really looked like and what was really going on there. And Like, I picture him just sitting out, like, reclined against a big rock and, like, has a little beehive next to him he's eating honey out of, and locusts hopping by, he's just snagging one, dipping in the honey, and if you guys want to hear about Jesus, come hang with me. I mean, really, what goes through your head when you read the Bible? That's where John is today, okay? He's weird. He's unique. He's different. Often the devil will use our uniqueness or our differences to separate us. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God has made you unique and different so that you may attract those around you. And we each attract a different type of people and a different people groups. But God's made us that way for a purpose and a reason. Don't let the devil lie to you and say you're messed up because you're not like, who's your human idol that you don't worship but you kind of idolize? Who is it? Who do you not measure up to in your own eyes? Maybe is another way to say it. Who do you not measure up to? Because you don't need to measure up. You need to be who God's created you to be, so that you can be unique and different and minister to the group of people God has called you to minister to love on and support and grow in relationship with. Sometimes God just gives us a new, creative, unique, unconventional method of answering our phone in church. For those online, there's a phone ringing here, so didn't want to leave you guys out. Got to know the inside joke. But sometimes God gives us these things. They're so unconventional, and they're so weird, and they're so different. It's like, that can't really work, can it? Well, yes, maybe it can. Maybe it will. Maybe I should go ahead and give it a try. If it aligns with God's word, of course. Don't just give anything a try. Satan's got plenty of counterfeits out there. Don't listen to him. Verse number 5. People went out to him, meaning John the Baptist, from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. People from everywhere were going out to see John. Like, what's going on? They wanted to see how big the rock was he was reclining on eating locusts. No, they wanted to hear the word. Like, what's this guy talking about? There's something new happening. I remember listening to my dad talk about when they were punching Highway 12 through to Missoula, that they would take drives up there occasionally to see how far the progress had got, to see how far is the highway now. It was a big thing in town that, like, let's go up the highway and see how far it's going through now. And people want to see when there's trailblazing happening. Where's this new trail going to take me? Where's it going to lead? It creates excitement, questions. Once people have questions, they can get answers. People should be drawn to us because of Jesus in us. Do you know you should be attractive? Not necessarily physically, though you should be clean and neat and maybe shave occasionally, or not. But if you don't shave occasionally, you should at least comb your beard. We should be attractive to people around us. They should want to hang out with us. We were at the bowling alley last night. I don't know. A bunch of us ended up there somehow. Not planned, but Irene says, yes, there was a herd. But we were like the at one end, and we were kind of loud and rowdy and having a good time, and mostly it was Shannon. We were like, somebody blow a strike, we're all like, woo, you'd think we just won, I don't know, the World Series or something. Something amazing. It's like, no, I just got 8 pins down. We were just having a good time, but people were like looking like, what do they have that we don't? Jesus, yeah. It's like, I didn't even see like 20 rounds of alcohol come down or anything. They're just having a good time. We should be attractive to the world around us because of Jesus in us. The joy of the Lord should be so exuberant within us. The love of God should be so evident in us to those around us that they're like, what do you have that I don't? John the Baptist was a weird dude. He ate weird stuff. He dressed weird, and still people were attracted to him. I believe it's because of the message of truth about Jesus that he was bringing. It wasn't because he had a weird outfit and ate weird food and was out in the wilderness. But we should be attractive to the world. They should want what we have rather than us being attracted to what they have. They should be attracted to what's in us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We may be the only Bible that some people read. Do you ever think about that? How well does my life read in public? When people see me at a sporting event, downtown at the gas station, when I bowl 9-11 times in a row and can't get a strike. I told you I'd work it in. But how do people see us? How do we read? We may be the only Word of God people read because we profess we're a Christian, and people in the community know we're a Christian, or at least call ourselves that. Are we acting like it? And do they see Christ when they see us? Sometimes, most of the time, all the time, almost never. Where are you at on the scale? Because you can always adjust. You can always shift and become more like Christ, which is what we're called to do. There have been times I've had to go back and apologize to community members. Say, look, the other day I was not being like Jesus, and I apologize for my actions. Or be specific, what did you do? I don't like to do that. That compels me to be more like Christ each and every day so I don't have to go do that, clean up my messes. Sometimes they're simple and easy fixes, and sometimes it takes years to get back to that point you were at before. Now the same trail you just cleared for 5 years, all the trees just fell in again. And you have to start over in that relationship to start leading them back to Christ because you really messed it up. I don't like those experiences. I like to continue in relationship with people to lead them closer to Jesus each and every day. And verse number 6, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Opportunity. John offered opportunity. As we're trailblazing, we should be offering opportunity for people. This is the purpose of blazing the spiritual trail, to offer opportunity for people to confess their sins, which means they come to a point of knowledge that I've sinned, I'm a sinner, I need repentance. So they confess their sins, they come to repentance, and then they come to the knowledge of I need a Savior. So they accept Jesus. Accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then they move from there to be baptized, which is being obedient to what God calls us to when we claim to be believers in his Son, Jesus Christ. Come then and be baptized. So then they begin walking in obedience. And then beyond that, they continue following Jesus for the rest of their days. We've got to give people those opportunities in our lives while we're blazing trail for them to confess their sins, to accept Jesus, to be baptized, and to follow him wholeheartedly with their whole lives. I love Jeanette's word this morning. Thank you, Jeanette. But we can't blaze the trail alone. We can't do it in our own strength. God calls us in his word to rely on him, to yoke ourselves with him, to come and rest in him, so that we operate in his strength and not our own. We can work and we can do a lot of great things in our humanity, but we will never achieve a hundredth of what God has in store for us. We can work and call it good, or we can work with God and call it God. Blaze your trail with God at the helm. God, where are we going today? What are we doing today? I think of Sebastian getting here and the whole BGA team. They've been working, studying, preparing. They didn't just pick up on Friday night and say, let's go to Vegas for the weekend. This is something they're 6 months into. They've been preparing and training, developing systems and programs. How do we help get people closer to Jesus? How do we introduce people to Jesus? They've been working and studying, learning. How do we do this? They're blazing a trail so Sebastian could have an opportunity. And saying it's all worth it, whether he says yes or no is on him, but we've done our part. We blazed the trail. This morning we were all presented with another opportunity. Will we help him in his trail of life and support him? I already know you guys will, because you're awesome. You love Jesus. And we love blazing trails for people. Sometimes it's that big, it's that monstrous, if you will. Sometimes blazing trail is this simple. Each and every day of our lives, say something that makes people think positively about who God is. Each and every day, do something that makes people think positively about who God is. Each and every day. And thirdly, be something that makes people think positively about who God is. Do you see any common denominators there? God, God, God. It's not so they think Arby's amazing, but it's so they think God is amazing. Which means I have to shift my conversation and my words. And how am I saying this? Does this make me look good, or you look good, or God look good? Because I'm going to give glory to God. You could step outside today and say, what a beautiful day Mother Earth has given us. So lovely. How about thank you, God, for this glorious day you've given us? You can give credit to a lot of different people. But if given the opportunity, say something, be something, do something that causes people to reflect positively on who God is. Trailblazing's that easy each and every day. I think of this trail I went and cut out this last summer. And I thought, I'll buzz up there. You know, I got a couple hours. I'll go cut it out, and then I'll be ready for hunting season when I come back in September to hunt, and it's going to be wonderful. So I went up there and had my chainsaw and some extra gas. I began cutting and cutting. Pretty soon, one tank of gas is gone. I continue. It's only like a 3.5 mile trail I was cutting out. It's not real big. I continue cutting and cutting, and my second tank of gas is gone. And I cut and cut, and now my third tank of gas is gone. And now I'm at the end of my gas and oil. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to get to the end of the trail, or at least where I want to go. And I did have enough. I had like, I think, 2 fumes left at the end. Sometimes it feels like that when we're cutting trail spiritually. It's hard work. It's not easy. But I think about the people behind me that have cut trail for me to be where I am today. I have a great history of families loving Jesus. My grandmother, I think, had 3 brothers that were pastors. And the whole couple hundred of us, almost all of us, love Jesus. So I've like grown up in that and had lots of family support and lots of family that's went and done the hard things spiritually. So I don't know what it's like for a first generation Christian. I can't imagine what it's like for them to have to begin blazing that trail from square one. Because I grew up in a godly home with great parents that loved Jesus and showed me the way and blazed trails for me so that I could be where I am today. So it's not just about you and getting where you want to go. It's about for those who are coming behind you so they can go further than you've gone. So I cut that trail in. I finally got to the end. then hunting season came, and there were only a few more trees down then, not very many. But then a couple months later, it was late season hunting. I thought, I had some friends with me. I thought, let's go up that road, and we'll go up that trail and see what we can find. And we head over that way, and there's about 10 inches of snow. And we didn't get very far, and there's a tree in the road. Now, being unprepared, I just have an axe, because I already cut the trail out, right? So I get my axe, we chop the tree, we throw it out of the road. We go around the corner, there's another tree. Chop the tree, throw it out of the road. I know we did this four or five times. Finally, we get to a spot where you can see, I think it was four trees in a row. Tunk, 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 tunk. I'm like, we're only about a half mile in. There's 3 miles past this. We're somewhere in that ballpark. So I take a swing with the axe, and only my handle follows through. My bit is still stuck in the log. It's like, ugh. What do we do? It's like, well, it's only like 12, 13 miles back to camp. One of us could take a four-wheeler and ride back to camp and get the chainsaw, which I could have easily thrown on the four-wheeler in the morning. Sometimes we head out ready to blaze the trail. We're not ready to blaze the trail because we think the work's already been done. And sometimes when the work keeps piling up, it's like, haven't we been here before? Haven't we already done this? It makes you want to quit and back out and say, no, I'm done, which we chose to do that day, which turned out really awesome. That's a story for another day, although. But where is your level of hard? Where are you willing to go for someone else so that they can come? And I would imagine everyone that came from the day I cut the road out until the day it fell closed again in the snowstorm didn't think a thing about, I wonder who cut the road out. Oh, it was so nice of Arby to cut the road out. Oh, it was great. I didn't get any thank you cards. I didn't get flowers. I didn't get beef jerky. I didn't get coffee cards or donuts. But I don't need any of that. Like, usually when you're a trailblazer, like, nobody knows what you did. They don't have an idea. They don't have a clue. And you have to be okay with that. Say, God, you've called us to make a way for people to find your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. So whatever it takes for work, for effort, for diligence on my part, I'm going to do my part. And I don't need thanks. I don't need appreciation. But I need to know that I'm doing what you've called me to do. So we're going to close there today. We're going to jump in 2 weeks because I'll be out of town next week. Next week, Jim Kelly's going to deliver the message. So be here. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So in 2 weeks, we'll be looking at five areas to help us blaze trail, or five things we need to do to help us blaze trail for others. Be willing to go into the unknown, make the way, open it up, do the hard work, and endure to the finish. That's what we're going to look at in 2 weeks. So God bless you guys. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to invite the prayer team to come forward. Prayer is a powerful way to blaze trail. It doesn't cost you anything but time. You can blaze so much trail just by saying prayers over the ones you love, over your community, over your family. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. God, we thank you for John the Baptist that came to prepare the way for your Son. And God, we ask that you would teach, lead, and direct each one of us, God, to be that trailblazer for those around us, God, those you have put us in relationship with, God, who we are connected to in our community, our workplaces, our schools. God, wherever you would lead us, God, that we would be quickened by your Holy Spirit, God, to make a way where there seems to be no way. God, not of our own power or strength, but God, of your might, of your power, of your strength. Father, use us, God, to lead people into your kingdom, that they may know your Son, that they may receive your salvation. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer today, come forward, get prayer, spend some time at the altar. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great week.
He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and deep.